Welcome to The Bridge Church. Our hope is that God will speak to you through this sermon and you will walk closer with Him in your daily life. Enjoy the message and God bless.
Woo! It's Sunday! Listen, I know y'all are like excited when I'm up here. I'm pumped. I get crazy. Hey, this is what I want you to do for a second. Stop what you're doing. Stop folding your clothes, whatever you're doing right now, and share this service. Like, this is amazing. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus during this time. And what better way is to just click that share button so that your friends and your families can tune in. Let me share something with you. Let me just be honest. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you for a second. Megan, my wife, set me up. Like, she set me up. Let me tell you what I mean by that. 8 years ago, I was like, ooh, man, she has made my dreams a reality. Like, I'm so ready now. I'm going to get on one knee. I'm going to propose. By the way, fellas, if you need a way of proposing, hey, do not hit me up because what I did was not very good. Okay, so 8 years ago, I proposed to her, and we're planning things. Well, honestly, she's the one that's planning things. I'm not planning anything. And she says, hey, Chris, what do you think about getting married in May? And so during the time, I'm like, yeah, May sounds good. Like, it's not too hot. It's not too cold. And let me tell you how she sets me up, okay? Mother's Day is when? In May. That's right. That's right. Her birthday, y'all don't know this. Her birthday is when? In May. May 28th is her birthday. You know what else is in May? Nursing week. Megan's a nurse. Nursing week is, guess what? It's in May. And our anniversary is tomorrow, May 11th. So this is how she sets me up. She gets a gift for every single one of them. She's like, Chris, I don't want a big gift. I want 4 big gifts. And so y'all need to Venmo me something. I put my Cash App down there. I don't know what. My pockets are broke. I don't have any money. But I want to say this. She absolutely deserves it, though. Like, if I'm honest with you, like, Megan is amazing. Megan is an amazing wife. She's an amazing mother. And I believe women around the world, they have this motherly attribute of nurturing and comforting and caring and loving for their children, and they're kind. They're even protectors in some way. You know, like if their kid comes home with a bloody eye, they're like, oh, who hit my baby? Like, they're ready to protect their baby. And I didn't think that there was no greater love than a way a mom mothers her children until I read the Bible, until I began to study more this week about an even greater love than a motherly love that we'll find in 1 John chapter 4. And so if you would this morning, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, when you fill out that Connect card, there's a place that asks for prayer requests. You can say, hey, I'm praying that somebody will send me a Bible. I promise you, we'll send you one. If you own a Bible, don't really know how to navigate through that, look, that's okay. There's table of contents at the beginning of the Bible. There's the Old Testament, New Testament. That's where you're going to find 1 John. Also, the words are going to appear on the screen for you. So we've been walking through a series called what? Learning to Walk. I want you to place that in the comments. We've been walking through a series called Learning to Walk. And so we started out talking about what it looks like for us to walk in light and not in darkness. And then we talked about what it looks like for us to walk in truth and not a lie. And then Pastor Andrew showed up last week and he challenged us and encouraged us on what it looks like for us to walk in confidence, what it looks like for us to be children of God. And so in this next passage, John is addressing this letter to believers who are being influenced by people of hate. They were spreading hate, but claimed love. They were going around claiming that you could live a life full of hate, but still claimed that they could follow Jesus. And so 2,000 years later, we see this happen even today. Like the Holocaust.
People claiming to sow love to the world by executing people of a different ethnicity out of fear and anger, and treating Jews as if they were not in the image of God, and treating Jews as if they were like animals. And we see this in slavery in America. People claiming to show love to the community, taking care of the community, but killing off and treating black people as if they were not created in the image of God. Treating black people as if they were more like animals. And recently in the news, a black man by the name of Ahmaud Arbery was out for a run, and he was gunned down. And the shooters claimed it was out of protecting the community, but in reality, it showed hate towards a different culture. And I want to say this, church, it's not okay. That's not okay. And that isn't love. It's that love doesn't show favoritism. And God has called us to exemplify love like he has for the entire world. And so I believe that 1 John is going to show us that there is no greater love than his, than Jesus' love. When we get to verses 1 through 6, so 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, John points out two different types of people, children of God and false prophets. He says children of God will live a life that wants to please God, right? And then he says false prophets will live a life to satisfy what God hates. And so I want to say this, the best life worth living is a life that exemplifies being loved by God. And so your big idea this morning, I want you to write this down. I want you to put this in the comments. It's going to show up on the screen. Your big idea is there's no better love. Like, I can't love you the way that God does. Like, I can't love Megan the way that God does. I can't love Lily James the way that God does. Your mom, she can't love you the way that God does. Your spouse can't love you the way that God does. Your dad, it can't love you the way that God does. Like, think of your favorite person in the entire world. Maybe your uncle, your aunt. Like, they cannot love you the way that God does, because love is his nature. It's in his character. His love is perfect. And it's described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, which is usually a passage that will be recited during marriage. But really, it's talking about God's love. And it says this in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. So it's saying this in reality, that God is patient. Come on, y'all. God is patient. Like, how many times have we not followed his standard? And he's been patient with us, still allowing us to continue to breathe his air. God is kind. God doesn't envy you. God doesn't boast. God isn't prideful. God doesn't dishonor others. Like, he's fair. God isn't self-seeking. Right? God isn't easily angered. Like, how awesome is that? We serve a God that's just not like ready to punish you. Like, he's not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrong. And what that means is, like, he's not just sitting there waiting for you to mess up. Like, he's like, ooh, yep, Pastor Davenport, yeah, I'm waiting on you to mess up. Yep, there you go. Check, check, check. Like, that's not the kind of God he is. God doesn't delight in evil. God rejoices in truth. God always protects. Like, I don't know what you're going through today. Know this, God always protects, God always trusts, God always hopes, God always perseveres. It is God, he never fails. This is what I call a perfect love. And so this morning, I want to talk about how do we walk in that perfect love? What that looks like for us as Christians to walk in this kind of love. So let's look at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. From who? From God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So let me set the tone. Although we can't live a perfect love like this, like God, God calls us to desire to live a life of love. God is the embodiment of this love. He asks us to pursue loving others the way that He loves us. Love comes from God. Though these are His characteristics, these should become our characteristics. Verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God. Did you hear that? Like, for those who don't love, he's saying they don't even know God. They don't have a relationship with God. They can't know God because they don't love. And this is why. Because God is love. It is this that we should be leading people towards love. Not towards racism. Not towards false hope. Not towards false joy. That God has called us to start leading people towards love. Verse 9, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son. Remember, in the context of this word Son, it means He's the characteristics of, and it's describing the Son to be God. It doesn't mean that God the Father had a literal Son, that He was married, but it's describing Son means characteristics of during this time. So he's saying, like, Jesus is God, and He was sent into the world that we might live through Him. Verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God. Isn't that interesting? He's saying, like, not that we were pursuing God by any means. Not that we loved God by any means. I think of, like, having a beach volleyball and taking it to the water. And we're always if you try to push, like, a beach volleyball on the water, it continues to try to submerge up or try to come back up. But that's what we try to do. We try to submerge, push the truth of God under. And it says this, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So God is sent to the world. Keep this in mind. He keeps His authority. Like, people bowed down and worshiped Him. The storms obeyed Him. Demons and Satan listened to Him. He still continues to keep His authority during this time. He keeps His power. Like, we see that in scripture where He is healing the sick. He makes the blind see. He makes the lame walk. But listen to this. God sacrifices. God sacrifices. He set aside His royal manifestation in the incarnation, which means this. He set aside His divine privileges when He became man. That when He became one of us, He became tired. That when He became one of us, He became overwhelmed. Like, know that feeling. Like, you know that. Have you ever been tired and overwhelmed? Like when He became one of us, He became thirsty. He became hungry. Like, He dealt with pain. He dealt with troubles like racism and people being prejudiced. And then not only that, He becomes an atoning sacrifice. That He lived the perfect life. And then He took what we deserved by receiving God's wrath, by being beaten and placed on a cross. He died and rose from the grave so that in Him we can have life. Not just any life, but eternal life. He sacrificed His life so that we can have eternal life. So get this, where there will be a day where we won't be tired any longer. Wow. Like, a day where I'm not tired or exhausted any longer. A day that I'm not overwhelmed. Like, I'm not overwhelmed with things, or I'm not carrying any kind of burdens anymore. There'll be a day that I won't be thirsty. Like, think about that. I know there's people that wake up in the middle of the night. Like, my wife does that. She wakes up in the middle of the night thirsty, running to the kitchen. Like, you don't have to worry about that anymore. There'll be a day you won't be hungry, that you won't have to deal with pain, or that you won't have any troubles and chaos. And this is why. Point number one, I want you to write this down. God's love is sacrificial. God's love is sacrificial. Place that in the comments. God's love is sacrificial. It says this in Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. It says this about Jesus. Jesus, who being in the very nature God, he's always been God. There was never a point that he wasn't God. He's always been God. And listen to this. Did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or to be used to his own advantage. Meaning people could not say that God ain't been through what I've been through, because he has. And it says this. Rather, he made himself nothing. Like, he made himself that way. By taking the very nature of a servant that he came here to serve, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And so even here on earth, he didn't walk around saying, look, I created that. Like this earth, like I created, yeah, give me the credit. I want that. I created that. You see those sandals? Yep, I made that. You know, he didn't walk around like that. He was humbled. He humbled himself by doing this, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is a sacrificial love that we've never seen. And this is what gets me, y'all. Like, this tears me apart. In 1 John, in chapter 4, verse 9, it says this. This is how God showed his love among us, which we just looked at. He sent his one and only son into the world. Here we go. I want you to underline this. Type this in the comments. That we might live through him. That we might live through him. That he sacrificed his life for everyone's sins, knowing that only some might receive and accept his forgiveness. Hear me on that. So he came here, died on the cross, and was sacrificed for the entire world, for everybody's sins, knowing that only some might receive and accept his forgiveness. Like, he did this knowing that only some would receive and accept his grace. He did this that knowing those who would rather have worldly possessions. For those who disrespect him, he died for them. For the liars, he died for you. For murderers, he died for you. For cheaters, he died for you. For the entire world, he died for you. He didn't just die for those he knew that was going to accept his grace. He died for even those he knew that wasn't going to accept his grace. And so denying Jesus is saying, I'm going to pay for my sins myself. And say, I'm going to pay for my sins myself. But the problem is, you can't. And if you live a life with this kind of pride, thinking things like that, that when you do die, you will pay for your sins. That there will be eternal, everlasting torment. Where Jesus displays his love by sacrificing himself so that we don't have to face that wrath anymore. That's sacrificial love. Of God becoming one of us, sacrificing his divine privileges. Verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. No one has ever seen God in a full, complete way. But because God's love lives in us, we must also love sacrificially. I think of this parable that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Luke. He tells this parable of a man that is beaten almost to death. And that he's robbed of his money and clothes and honor. And he's thrown on the side of a road. And there are three men that he brings up in this parable. One of the men, they claim to be a follower of Christ. They claim to be a follower of God. Like they worship God and praise God. But as they're walking, they see this man beaten. And instead of stopping and sharing God's love, they cross the street and continue to walk. They say that they love, but their actions didn't show it. There's the second guy, he begins to start walking. He sees this man beaten, bloodied up, robbed. He's almost dead. And he looks at him and he continues to walk. But then there's this third man. He bandaged him up. He gave him transportation. He paid for a place for him to stay. Like, this is what sacrificial love looks like. Like, that man could have had something to do, but instead he saw someone broken and decided to stop and love on him. How are you loving sacrificially these days? What does it look like for you to love sacrificially these days? How are you doing that during COVID-19? What does that look like in your life? Let's look at verse 13. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us a spirit, given us his spirit. He's saying again, we've been over this, that when we become a Christian, we receive the Holy Spirit, who is God, and he begins to transform us to look like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, and to love like Jesus. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That his love covers a multitude of sins. That his love is for the entire world. That Jesus shows no favoritism. He's not racist. Like, I don't care what you've done today. I want you to hear me on this. I don't care what you've done. God has sacrificed his life for you. And this is how you receive his grace. Verse 15. If anyone, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your past looks like. For anyone that acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God. Remember, Son of, characteristics of, meaning like he is God. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is God, God lives in them and they in God. That when you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, you're able to start a relationship with him, and his grace saves you from God's wrath. Verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Because of believing in God's sacrifice, we can have full assurance that we're saved from the wrath of God. It says God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Meaning this sacrificial love helps us to abide in him because God abides in us. Verse 17, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence. You know what confidence is? So that we can have confidence, so that we can walk in confidence on what? On the day of judgment. That when you die, you're going to have to meet in front of the Father and be accounted for, like, of what you have done. And it says, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Because of God abiding in me, I can begin to walk in confidence that on judgment day, I am covered. I am covered by Jesus. That on judgment day, when we appear before the Father, I'm confident in knowing where I'm going to go. Like, I'm confident knowing where I'm going to end up when I die. Because the Father won't see my brokenness. Because of following Jesus, the Father, he's not going to see my brokenness. He's not going to see my depravity. He's not going to see my imperfections. He's not going to see my sin. Not that he is blind to it, but Jesus vouches for me, and I'm accredited to what Jesus did. So God the Father sees and judges me on Jesus' perfections. I get that. Like, when I meet in front of him, I get to be confident and say, oh, that narrow way? Oh, that's my way, Lord. I'm going to go ahead and go that way. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm confident. I don't have to fear because Jesus vouches for me. He sees Jesus' righteousness. He sees Jesus' holiness, all because he sacrificed his life and we received him as our Lord and Savior. We get what we don't deserve. Like, we get what we don't deserve. And because of this confidence in Christ for judgment day, it says this in verse 18, and this is powerful, and I don't want you to miss this. There's no fear. There's no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made in perfect love. Number two, God's love drives out fear. God's love drives out fear. Because of his sacrificial love, I don't have to worry about punishment on that day. His love drives out that fear. And it's not just on judgment day, his love drives out fear. It's not just on judgment day, but we can be free from fear forever. Like, we don't have to walk in fear ever again when you accept the Lord as your Lord, or when you accept the Lord as your Savior. Pastor Daniel of Life Point Church says this: fear is just misplaced faith. How true is that? So who are you putting your faith in? Your problems or in God? Is that his love, it drives out all fear. His love shows that we can trust in him. His love shows that we can rely on him. His love shows that we can put our faith in him. And he can give us victory over any problem that we have. I want to confess something to you. That a lot of times when we fear, we begin to question God's love for us. Like, how true is that? That when we fear, we begin to question God's love for us. And this week, it's been a tough week for our church and for our team. There's been many things that have happened that can cause anxiety and cause fear. And church, I want you to know, man, when y'all hurt, like I hurt, like I feel that. Like when y'all are hurting, I hurt. And let me confess something to you. I went to God on y'all's behalf. Like, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Like, I don't quite understand. Like, these are people that are constantly serving you and you're allowing all these bad things to happen to them. Why is this happening? And this is what he says to me. Don't be afraid. He says, these are my people and I got them. And he reminded me how good he really is through this passage. That his love is greater than anything that we've ever experienced. So let me encourage you right now, through any storm that you're going through today, trust in God. That God allows you to go through some of them because he is strengthening you for something. So persevere. Allow God to turn it into something good. Rely on him because he loves you, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen and cannot love God whom they have not seen. He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And so he ends it with this. Verse number three. Or point three. God's love encourages us to love our brothers and sisters. It is when we love our brothers and sisters sacrificially, it will help drive out fear in their lives too. I want you to hear me on that. Like, when we begin to love our brothers and sisters, sacrificially, it will begin to help drive out the fear that they have in their lives too. God's love is exemplified in the way we love our brothers and sisters. So it's this: how are you sacrificing to show God's love to others so that their fear can be driven out and that God's love is shown through you? How are you sacrificing your time? How are you sacrificing your time? By the way, it's not your time. Like, if I'm being real with you, that's God's time. That's borrowed time that you're on. It's his time. And he gave it to you so that you can give it to others. So how are you making sacrifices in his time to help others during COVID-19? Reach out to your neighbors I mean, on Mondays, y'all, we get to reach out to the community. How awesome is that? Join in that. Call one another. Text one another. Pray for one another. Pray for those in need. Look for places to serve. What are you doing to sacrifice his time to impact our community? How are you sacrificing your talents? Again, it's not your talents. It's his. He gives you those things. And he gave it to you so that you can encourage others. So how are you using your talents during COVID-19? How are you using your treasure? What does that look like in your life? How are you using your treasure? It's not your treasure. It's his treasure. It belongs to him. How are you even sacrificing that? Like a lot of you said, nah, man, I work hard for my money, dog. Like I got a job. I work hard for that. No. Like God provided that job for you. And God is providing to you through that job. See, money can be so difficult to talk about in churches because of this misconception that churches only want your money. Let me tell you this. Neither is the case for the Bridge Church. What you give is used to bless the community. God even asks us to be faithful in this area. Like your giving shows your commitment level to the church and reaching the community. Like your generosity isn't used to get a new Benz, which is the misconception in this world today. Like your generosity is stewarded well on how we can impact the community. So it's so important that you even stay faithful in your giving. And y'all, we have some faithful people in our church. We have some sacrificial people in our church. And so please continue to give so that we can continue to make an impact on the community and begin to bring people to freedom, purpose, and fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And God blesses you when you sacrifice. He blesses you when you sacrifice your time, talents, and treasure. Like when I sacrificed my time to go on prayer walks, I was so encouraged by this lady that just pulled over and rolled down her window and said, "Are you Pastor Chris?" Like I was just watching your live. And when church opens back up, I'm going to be there. See, y'all, that's what it's about. Like we're sacrificing our time so people can be connected to Christ. When I walk in these gas stations, man, you should see how people react when I go. I wish that I can take the entire church with me when I walk in. I mean, people are like, "Woo, Pastor Chris, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad that you are blessing our community." Like, that's so encouraging, y'all, that we are making an impact in the community where people want freedom. People are wanting purpose. People are wanting Christ. And churches are beginning to notice it. Like, churches are beginning to notice how much you care for the community. The Mount Ararat Church, they have two campuses, one in Stafford and one in Fredericksburg. And this church gave us $4,000 because they've seen the way that y'all have been impacting the community. Man, clap that up, man. I put that in the comments. Clap that up. Praise the Lord. Because listen, y'all, we really do care. And God is providing so that we can continue to give back to the community. And when you love your brother and sister sacrificially, not only does it drive out fear, but it brings encouragement to their lives where it will motivate them to love sacrificially too. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Like when you're loving your brothers and sisters sacrificially, not only does it drive out their fear, like they're not afraid anymore because of this sacrificial love that we're given, but it's giving them encouragement to live their lives where they are motivated to also love other people sacrificially. So we'll have a community of people that is exemplifying God's love. Let me give you an example. And listen, I hope this works. I hope this is going to be amazing. I'm going to see if it works. I'm going to move this out the way. This is going to be awesome if it works. But if it doesn't, I'm still going to explain it to you. Because I want you to see what this looks like. It's more than this table right here. I got something else. This is a little hot. Do you guys know what this is? It's not a coffee maker, by the way. It's a chocolate fountain. And I definitely don't need chocolate fountains. Let's see if this thing works. I'm trying it. It's green. Hold on 1 second. Here we go. Listen, oh man. Oh no, y'all. No, y'all, it might not work. It might not work. Well, here, let me explain this to you in this way. I might take a bite out of this. It works like this. Like chocolate is like God's love for us. That when it's poured into us, it begins to start rising up and it begins to overflow. And so just like a fountain, how it begins to overflow with chocolate. Listen, like this is Fredericksburg right here. And so the more that we begin to live out God's love, the more that we can impact Fredericksburg. But it doesn't stop there. Like it continues to overflow and it hits our nation's capital. Like how awesome is that? Like God's love doesn't just halt, it doesn't just stop here in Fredericksburg. It continues to go and it hits our nation's capital and it hits our world. This is what we want for our community. Like this is what we want for our world. Living a life that impacts through God's love. And so if you're here today and you've never experienced God's love for your life, and you're saying, Chris, I want that. Chris, I want a relationship with Jesus. This is a day of salvation. That today, that you don't log off of here without giving your life to Jesus. Because he wants a relationship with you. And so if that's you today that want a relationship with Christ, like you don't have a relationship with Christ, and you're saying, man, I want to start one today, in the comments, I want you to put the word follow. Will you do that for me? Put the word follow. Be bold. Say, man, I want Jesus. I want to follow him. And look, if that's you today, you're a follower of Christ. If I can have the points on the screen. If you're a follower of Christ, this is what I want you to put in the comments. Be a bridge. Like if that's you that have been loving sacrificially. If that's you that's been living out God's love while it's driving out fear. If that's you today that's been loving your brothers and sisters. Continue to do that. Place be a bridge in the comments. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for everything that you do. God, you're so good to us. Even when we're not good, you're good. God, we love you. And if there are people that are on this live stream that don't have a relationship with you, God, I pray that they get one. And if that's you today that type the word follow, you'll say a simple prayer like this. God, I'm a sinner. But I hear that you have died on the cross for my sin so that I can have a relationship with you. And so I here and now want to accept you to be the Lord of my life and the King of my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the sermon. We will have new messages uploaded each week on our website at thebridgefxbg.org and all social media platforms. Have a blessed week, and remember, always be a bridge.